All right, let us turn to the book of Acts, Acts 9:32 to verse 43. And the message that I've chosen for this morning is "Occupy till I come." And that is taken from the passage that we had read earlier in Luke 19, where there was the parable of the man, that this nobleman that called his servants together, and he gave this one instruction: "Occupy till I come." And that is instruction, of course, we know is not just to his servants, but it was a parable speaking of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as he has departed from this earth, he has also left all his disciples, all his servants with the same instruction and message, that we too will be busy and active in the service of the Lord as we look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for this morning, we want to focus just on the actions of Peter. Now, we know that in this account, there is the description of two miracles that take place, and that is the healing of Aeneas. And then after that, there is the rising from the dead of this lady known as Tabitha or Dorcas. And there are some good things that we can learn and see from the life of this lady Dorcas as well. And God willing, next Lord's Day, that is what we want to focus on. So we're going to look at this passage twice from two sort of different angles. And the first today being from the actions of the Apostle Peter. And we see how he was busy and actively engaged in the service of the Lord. And then, God willing, next Lord's Day, as we gather again, we will look from verse 36 again to verse 43. We want to look at this very remarkable lady known as Dorcas, a woman who was described as being full of good works and of alms deeds. Very remarkable. But today we're going to focus on Peter and how Peter, in the time that he had, he exemplified this instruction that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us to occupy till he returns. That was the Apostle Peter. He was occupied. Occupied in what? Occupied, of course, in the service of the Lord. And when we think of our life today, you know, busyness is something that is common to most. Oftentimes, when we gather for perhaps a prayer meeting, we share of how things have been, how our lives have been, and what are things that we want to pray for. Invariably, what we will hear of is, you know, asking the Lord to pray, asking all of us to pray for good time management. We share on how work has been busy, or school has been busy, or life has been busy. And we somehow have managed to fill our schedules with so many things. It's a problem. In our day and age, we are constantly occupied. And if it is not, you know, if something that, you know, is our responsibility to do, for example, our work, our various duties that we have at home, in our various relationships, the moment we have an idle moment, we fill it with activities, with entertainment. Our phone rarely leaves the palms of our hands, and every moment that we have that is seemingly unoccupied, we manage to occupy it. Scrolling through things, reading this, watching that, playing this, doing various things. And at home, we occupy our times as well. Sitting in front of the television, sitting in front of the computer, sitting and filling our heads and our minds and our hearts with all sorts of things, sinful or otherwise. And so we are very occupied people. Now, busyness in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing, because the Lord does tell us to occupy till he comes, that we should not be idle, that we should not waste our time. The Bible says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. But sometimes we may be tempted to think that, well, the busier we are, the more occupied our time is, the more productive we are. Oh, that's a good thing, where we're serving the Lord. But are we really? Are we really channeling our resources, the resources of time and energy that the Lord bestows upon us, in the right direction? Are we really busy for the Lord? Are we really occupied with the right things? Or are we just being busy for busy's sake? Because perhaps we think that such industry is a virtue. But that busyness is really the busyness of the world. And that is a warning that the Lord gives us as well. Isn't it in the parable of the soils, another parable? He warns that the affairs and the cares of this life, that sort of busyness is something that can be like the thorns and the thistles, the rocks in the grounds that will choke the word and will cause us to depart from the Lord. It lures us away. And if we are not careful about it, the busyness that we find ourselves in, the things that we are occupied in, is not the right sort of occupation, the right sort of being occupied that the Lord desires of us. We are simply being occupied with the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the love of this world. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Occupy till I come," what he calls us to do is to be very deliberate with our time, with our energy, our resources, that we will want to focus our attention on service, that we will want to be very deliberate and careful, redeeming the time, yes, and making sure that the time that we spend is indeed for the Lord's work, that we are actively involved and engaged in being a better witness and testimony for the Lord, in growing and learning, in praying, in reading God's word, in studying his word, and then going forward to share God's word with the lives of the people around us. And that is what it means to occupy till I come, to utilize the talents, the opportunity, everything that the Lord has given us in this life to bring forth fruit for him. And that's what we see happening in the parable of the talents, where all of them were given equal opportunities, a talent each. How did they use it for the Lord? There were those that worked hard, and they multiplied their talents from 1 to 10, 1 to 5. But the one servant that was rebuked was not that he gave little in return, but was the one that was idle and did absolutely nothing. He simply hid the talent in the ground, and when the Lord came back, he had nothing to show for the life which he was given. How about for us? Are we occupying in the Lord's work? Will we have talents to show the Lord when he returns? And so let us look now at the life of Peter, where he was faithfully, actively being busy for the Lord, and he was setting an example for all of us to know and understand what it means to occupy till he comes. And in so doing, he was really exemplifying his own message, which he will later pen in the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, he wrote, of course, to all the elders, and in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, he said, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre," that means not for money's sake, right? Not for greed, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And that is what he was doing for us here, being an example to the flock, being of a ready mind, being of a servant that is doing it willingly, not out of obligation, not out of constraint, not because he has to, but because he wants to, because he had this desire to be zealously engaged in the faithful service of the Lord. And so that's what we see Peter doing here, feeding the flock willingly, not for any other ulterior motive, but simply because this he knew was what the Lord wanted him to do. He had this ready heart, his ready mind, and in so doing, he sets an example for all of us. And so let us learn today from Peter's example, following him in a few days of his ministry, of seeing what it means to really occupy as he waits for the return of his master, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as the scene opens in verse 32, we have been talking about Paul for quite a while, and that's the earlier part of chapter 9. But for the next two chapters, actually, the narrative will shift to the Apostle Peter. As you know, Peter was one of the leaders of the church at Jerusalem. He was described as, he was one of the most prominent ones in the earlier chapters that we have been looking at. And so we looked at Paul for a moment in his conversion. Now return to Peter, and the focus in the book of Acts will be on him for the next few chapters. And we realize that, you know, when Paul in the previous verses spoke of how he went to Jerusalem, then after that he went to the regions of Caesarea and Philippi, Caesarea and Tarsus, we realize that actually that was a span of 14 years that he will be away. And he will, of course, also be serving the Lord. It was also his years of training and preparation before he would embark on the three missionary journeys from Acts chapter 14 onwards. So in the meantime, the narrative shifts back to the Apostle Peter, and it tells us of what then happened in those intervening years, in those years after Paul's conversion, but before he embarked on his missionary journeys. So we're going to look at Peter now. And so what was Peter doing in the meantime? You know, very often we hear about Paul's missionary journeys, of how he went from city to city, establishing churches and encouraging them, strengthening them. And we realize that actually before Paul did those things, Peter was also similarly engaged in such work. So the first thing we want to see in verse 32 was how Peter, you know, as part of occupying till the Lord's return, was that he was simply actively going about to serve. And that's the first thought, actively going about to serve. And we see in verse 32, as it's described here, and it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. The phrase pass throughout, it just has the meaning of journeying through, to traverse about, to go from city to city in this itinerant ministry. He didn't just remain at Jerusalem. Yes, there was a large congregation to care for in Jerusalem. It had been growing, as the earlier chapters of the book of Acts tells us, numbering in the thousands. But in the meantime, congregations, churches were also now established in the regions round about Jerusalem. And so we remember how the Lord, how Jesus told them that ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea. Well, that was what was happening now. He was ministering in the Judean region. And that will be in the cities round about Jerusalem. And we'll see some of them here. Joppa, Lydda, Saron, and these are some of the early churches that were established, and there were others round about as well. And so what was he doing? He was tirelessly engaged in the work, visiting, ministering, preaching, establishing churches in some of those places, and then after that, going to visit the newly planted churches in the regions to encourage, to strengthen them in the faith. And that was what Peter was engaged in doing. That's what he spent his time on, to be actively engaged in the service of the Lord. And do we see virtue in that? The virtue in the busyness here, or in how Peter was so occupied, of course, occupied doing a very, very necessary work. Now you may say, well, I mean, of course, he is the apostle. He has this responsibility. Yes, he is called to be an apostle, and that is what he was doing here. But all of us have our own calling as well. And all of us are called also to be actively engaged in the service of the Lord. You see, service is not just about taking up ministries. It's not about taking up actual areas of responsibility. Now, of course, that is important areas of service as well. But service is also a heart, a mindset, that constantly, every single day, are we engaged in the service of the Lord? And the point that I want to bring here is that it is something that we do actively, not passively. Right? Something that we carefully think of and ask continually, Lord, what will thou have me to do? May you bring a soul to me this day. May you enable me to be of use to thee, to be of service to thee every single day, in every encounter, in every person that we meet. Now we actively think, how can I be of better service to the Lord? That can be in terms of our witness. That can be in terms of the encouragement that we bring to the lives of the people around us. And yes, in our present time, sadly, we have little opportunity or very limited, restricted ways in which we can physically meet. But can we do so through other means? And we thank God that yes, technology does definitely allow that. To pick up the phone, to call, to message, to send a text, to ask and check. And how you go? How are you doing? How are things for you? To send a word of encouragement. Now, these are just some simple ways in which we can be actively going about to serve. Are we deliberate in the things that we occupy our times with? Now, we do have time on our hands. What do we do with it? We think, it's the end of a long work day. I'm tired. I just want to kick my feet up, relax, watch some television, spend some time idly doing this or that. Or will we then think, it's not going to require too much effort, but maybe I can be of an encouragement to a brother or sister in Christ today. Can we do that? Or are we active in the actual responsibilities that we have? Our service at home, with our family, with our loved ones, and the children that the Lord has entrusted to our care. Our parents, our siblings. Are we actively engaged in the service of the Lord? And that's what Peter was doing here. As he passed throughout all quarters, he says he was going through all different places. And he was now coming to this place known as Lydda. Lydda, it was a town about 10 miles southeast of Joppa, that coastal city. If you look at the modern day map of Jerusalem, it is somewhere between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is the modern day capital. And so Lydda would be sort of like on the outskirts of Tel Aviv. And Joppa would be sort of in the heart, really, of Tel Aviv now. And it was an important city. It was sitting along the trade route between Egypt down to the south and up north to Syria. It was a town of some sizable population. And so that was one of the places that he stopped at. And it's just a little glimpse, a little snapshot into the life of Peter and what he was doing now. And really, as we think of people like Peter, people like Paul, in their itinerant ministries, it does remind me of the late Dr. Toh, our super one-time senior pastor. And he was the founder of various churches in Singapore and around the world. And I remember as a young boy, a child, looking at the weekly, and sometimes it will describe the travel itinerary of Dr. Toh. So I try to count, how long ago was that? Some 20 to 30 years ago, and he would have been maybe in his 60s and 70s, and towards his 80s, he continued to have this sort of ministry, an itinerant ministry where he would basically traverse the globe. He will go around the world serving the Lord and preaching the gospel at an age where most would say, well, it's time for my retirement. It's time for me to sit back, relax, and enjoy the fruits of my labor. I've worked hard through these so many years, and now it's time for me to relax and enjoy. Now, for those of you who know Dr. Toh, you met him and spent time with him, you know he was one who was actively going about to serve. He was never one to sit idle. And what did he spend his time doing? Well, as in the position that he had, he was in a position to go around and really to be of great encouragement to the many churches that he was in association with, or many churches whom he actually founded. And so I remember as a child looking at the weekly, and he would fly from Singapore to London, to Toronto, to Vancouver, and then after that round about down to Australia. Or sometimes he just focused on Australia only, and so he would go from Perth to Sydney to Melbourne, later on to Brisbane, and all around, spending weeks, months even, going from place to place in this sort of itinerant ministry. And later on, as I also started to serve the Lord, and I was at the sort of receiving end, when there was a time in which I was serving in Perth, in BPC WA, and there were occasions in which he would come. And he would come, and I remember there was once he actually stayed together with me in the parsonage. And I just had a personal sort of witness of the way he served the Lord. And he had no downtime. In the times in which, you know, he was at home and he had done with his preaching and visitation, what was he doing? He was writing. And I saw how he would write, you know, on paper, right? The weekly, which I believe used to be printed here when he was still writing. And he will write. And then after that, he will fax it to the office in Singapore to Sister Jean, our secretary. And she would type it out for him, scribe it out, and then fax it back. And then he will edit. He will look through, read through again, make changes, and then fax it again. And then after that, she'll fax it back. And so that was the way he did things in the past. Actively serving and engaged in the service of the Lord. And then times in which he wasn't writing, he'll be on the phone, calling people around the world, encouraging, witnessing to them, actively engaged in the work of the Lord. And I see him really patterning his life after men like Peter, men like Paul, tirelessly engaged, involved in the service of the Lord. Now, how about for us? Are we actively going about to serve the Lord? Do we constantly seek for ways and means in which we can be encouragement to the lives around us as vessels fit for the Master's use, living for Christ, simply put? That's the first thing that we see in this little snapshot of the life of Peter. He was actively going about to serve. And then the second thought I want to say is that he was purposefully presenting Christ. Presenting Christ. Because if you think about it, that is what service actually boils down to. Sometimes we think about just being busy, doing this, doing that. But have we asked, now, how does all this busyness, even in what we think of as service, how can that lead a person to Christ? How can that encourage a person to be more like Christ? Or to desire Christ more? We're going to realize that actually not all of the busyness of our service really actually contributes to that. And that we must also have an understanding of the priorities of our time. That we do not just be busy for busyness sake, but that we really be busy in a way that is most optimal to present Christ, to ensure that our labors is not in vain, but for the purpose of presenting Christ. Now, what was Peter doing here? So as he came down to Lydda, they brought to him a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Basically, he was paralyzed. That's what it means to be sick of the palsy. He had some sort of paralysis. And so he was paralyzed, paraplegic. And so he could only lie in bed. And this had been going on for 8 whole years. And so we are really not given too many details at all about his condition or what had happened to him. But what we do see is that they brought him to Peter. And what did Peter say? And simply he said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And so it was a miracle. It was definitely a clear miracle, similar, you may say, to what Peter and John did in Acts chapter 3. Remember, there was a man that was a beggar. He had been sitting at the gates of the temple. And so he had been asking for alms. He was a beggar. And then Peter, fixing his eyes upon him, said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And so we see a similar thing happening then and a similar thing happening now. Instead of drawing attention to himself, he said, "Oh, I am so powerful. I am Peter the apostle. I command thee to walk." Now, his focus was always on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as he fixed his eyes on this man, Aeneas, in a very similar manner in which he told the lame man in Acts chapter 3, he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the one that makes thee whole. And that was always his focus. That was always his desire, that he will draw people to Christ and not to himself. And may that be the focus of all our service as well, that we will constantly seek ways to have the hearts of the people around us to focus on Christ. Is that what we are doing? To purposely present Christ to them. And so that would be both to the unbelievers in our midst and to the believers as well, that in our conversation, in our life, do we tell people about Christ? Do we make it known? When things happen to us, whether it be good or whether it be bad, at least in the perspective of men, that we will attribute and bring all glory to Christ, to tell people that, yes, I mean, these things have happened to me, but I thank the Lord. And I know that the Lord is in control of my life. And you attribute all glory, all praise to Christ, saying that, yes, it is not of me that I am able to do anything at all, but it is all of Christ. Are we ashamed to say these things? Or are we proud to proclaim that, yes, I follow the Lord, and I entrust my life wholly and fully and completely into his hands, and he's the one that leads me? Are we presenting Christ to the lives of the people around us? Yes, we may not be able to perform miracles like the Apostle Peter. We don't have such, perhaps in the eyes, again, of the world, astounding means, right, to raise one from the dead, or to heal one who was previously completely paralyzed for years and years. But we have a witness. Our lives are the witness. And that is what we are told to do in the way in which we portray Christ through our lives. But do we seek to do that? Again, actively doing so, to purposefully and deliberately do all that we can to make sure that the people around us can see Christ in us. Is that what we are occupying ourselves with? Or are we rather instead just pursuing our own pleasure, our own desires, doing whatever just piques our fancy? Do we have groups of people in our lives that don't even know that you are a follower of Christ? Or that you will be ashamed to tell them that, oh yes, I am a Christian, that I believe in Jesus? Because you are far more concerned about your own comforts, your own enjoyments, your own ambition, that you fail to think of how you are a witness to each and every one of them. Because you see, as believers, every single person that comes into our lives, we ought to be a witness to them. Are we ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? That ought not to be. If we know how precious it is, and if it is indeed precious to us, then we ought to be seeking for every opportunity to present Christ, as what we see Peter doing here. As he was granted this opportunity, yes, it came to him, but he did not shy back. He said, "In the name of Jesus." He understood that it is only through Jesus, through Christ, that he was able to do anything at all. And so it was not, "Peter, I make thee whole." No, it was Jesus Christ that maketh thee whole. And with the healing, of course, most certainly he would have presented the gospel to speak a word for Christ, because we are told that this miracle was noised abroad about at Lydda, and not just at Lydda, but also in Saron. What was Saron? It was sort of the plains round and about Lydda. So it's just a nearby region And so there's Lydda and Sharon. And many in both those areas that dwelt there, they turned to the Lord. Yes, because of the miracle that they heard, but then also, I'm sure, of the gospel and the truth that he proclaimed. Because a person cannot be saved just by witnessing a miracle. But backing up their miracle, as we know, the miracles in those days was a way to validate their ministry, to prove that he is an apostle from God. And he will back it up, of course, with preaching. And that's the pattern that we saw him doing in the earlier chapters of the book of Acts that we have been studying. That in every miracle that he performed, he will always back it up by speaking a word for Christ, by telling them that it is not in my name that I do this, but it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom he crucified. He is alive and he remains and he continues to dwell in the midst of us. And he is the one that enables me to do anything for him at all. That's the sort of thing that he will tell, he will speak of. And he was unafraid, you remember, to preach this before the temple, before the Jews, but even before the Sanhedrin council, those who were plotting to kill him, he was unashamed to declare these wonderful and important truths. And so you can be certain that that is what he will be doing here at Lydda, at Sharon, and then later on at Joppa as well, that he will always deliberately and very purposefully present Christ. Is that what we are doing also? Because that's what it means to occupy till he comes. That in every encounter, in every meeting that we have, we always think, how can I show Christ to these people? How can I be a more effective and a better witness for them, for him, to them? How am I presenting Christ? Now, the next thing that we see from verse 36 onwards was another opportunity presented itself. And that was with the death of this lady known as Tabitha or Dorcas. And as I mentioned earlier, we will focus more on her and her life and her impact that she brought next week, next Lord's Day. But what we're told here is that this woman, who was well-known and well-loved in the community, she was sick and died. Verse 37. And so they were beginning to make preparations for her burial. But then they also heard that Peter was nearby. That's what you see in verse 38. And so they heard that Peter was nigh to Joppa. And as I mentioned, that was about 10 miles away, probably around a day's journey or more. And so they heard that Peter was there. And they sent him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Perhaps they had an intention, a desire that he could come and raise her from the dead. Or even if not, that he would come and join them for the funeral. Whatever the case was, they sent for him. And they sent him the message with urgency, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. And he did not disappoint. Because verse 38 then goes on to tell us that then Peter arose and went with them. And the simple point that I like to make here is that he was always ready to help. That's a third thought. He was purposefully presenting Christ. Another way in which we see him occupied was that he was always ready to help at every opportunity that came calling. That anyone who called for him and said, come, help us, well, he would then hastily and readily go and present himself to them. And so that's what he did as he then went from Lydda and journeyed across to Joppa. He answered the call of the Lord. He did not delay, as was the request. Verse 38, right? Desire that he would not delay, that he would not, make excuses or, perhaps say, well, that's not in my plan. That's not in my itinerary. I have a plan perhaps to go to Jerusalem or Bethel or maybe another nearby city. When the call came, says, come to Joppa. We need you in Joppa. His answer was, yes, I will go. I will go. Ready. And there's this readiness to serve that we see in Peter here. Ready always to answer the call. Ready always to go where the Lord wants him to go. And that is something that we can learn from as well. That he promptly responded. He didn't hesitate. He didn't make excuses. He didn't say, oh, you know, I'm needed here, I'm needed there. No. He knew that this was yet another opportunity that he had to be a blessing to someone else, to be able to turn them to Christ through the gospel. And so he went. Now, do we too have this readiness to serve? Do any time, any opportunity that comes calling, we say, yes, yes, I am ready to serve. Now, of course, we want to have a caution here also that we do not then take off more than we can chew. Sometimes that's the saying that we have, right? You don't bite more than you can chew. You don't take on too many responsibilities that then comes at a compromise of some of our aspects of service or some of the areas of responsibility that the Lord has entrusted to us. Now, of course, we must be wise in the utilizing of our talents, of our time. Because sometimes, yes, when we serve and that service abounds, and yes, there comes more and more opportunity that comes our way. And inevitably, we may have to turn away some. We would have to make sure that we do not compromise in our service. And sometimes it's just simply physically not possible, perhaps, to be in two places at one time. And this will be a struggle sometimes of some of our pastors, of some of our ministers. They have many opportunities presented to them. They simply cannot answer every single one of them. Just earlier this week, I had a conversation, I was having to make some arrangements because of our church camp. I received a message from Reverend Joseph Poon in BPCWA saying, is it possible that we would be able to change the dates of our camp that we have planned for this year? Why? Because they had also made arrangements to have a camp at the same week as us, and they were also inviting Reverend Quek to be the speaker. And so all this while, that had been our arrangement that we would have Reverend Quek to speak at our camp, and we had already made arrangements for him to come. And then BPCWA says, well, they also have a booking on the same date, and it's very hard for them to change because it had been postponed earlier from another situation that they're facing. I think they had a snap lockdown as well. And so we started to make arrangements. We called the campsite that we had booked, and well, we thank God that they had a vacancy availability for a week after. And so we quickly made a call and said, all right, can we change it to a date after? And well, on Reverend Quek's side, he was available. He says, sure. All right. If it so be that I have to be in Australia for 2 weeks, if travel is possible in that week, in that time, and then he will come. And so he then made arrangements that he would, well, God willing, of course, if travel is possible in July this year, he will be going first to Perth from the 3rd, and then after the week after to come over to us. And that's the life of a servant of the Lord, that every opportunity that comes, well, he will not turn it down if he is physically available and possible to do so. And that is something that I learned when I was a student at FEBC as well. Some of the advice that was given by some of the senior students and some of the ministers and the pastors there as well, that as long as you are able to, do not turn down these opportunities of service. Because if you do so, if you, you know, turn it down and you say, oh, I'm too tired, or I can't, you know, I want to have some time to relax, all these opportunities might not come knocking after. And so that had been the advice that was given to us. And that is what we see, being exemplified in some of these more experienced and senior pastors around us. Yes, that they would be always actively ready, always ready to help wherever needed, wherever necessary. And that's what we see Peter doing here as well. The call came, come, join us in Joppa. And what happened? Peter arose and went with them straight away, without delay, ready to answer the call of the Lord. Now, how about for us? How about for us? What would we prioritize in the time that the Lord has given to us? We sometimes be tempted to say, you know, it's been a busy week and I only have Saturday to myself, and you want me to join this or do that? Maybe some other time. You know, I have been planning to kick back and relax and enjoy for this few days or this hour, this period of time. It's too much to ask. Can you ask someone else? Find someone else. I've already been doing this and that. Sometimes you may be tempted to think that way. Sometimes, I would admit, sometimes there is that temptation as well. An email comes, a message comes, and it says, I'm not in the mood to address this right now. Oh, it's Sunday evening. It's been a busy day. I'll just put it off. Sadly, yes, sometimes I do put it off. I'll admit. Sometimes I look back and I realize, no, that was just me being lazy. Could I have answered the message then? Could I have answered the email? I could have. And sometimes these were things that were time sensitive. A person needed that advice, person needed that sharing, person needed that counsel at that point of time, but then I put it off. And I look back and I realize I have to ask the Lord for forgiveness for the times in which I was not ready. I was not ready to be helpful. I was not ready to serve. And I just wanted to selfishly have time to myself. But that ought not to be the servant of the Lord. That not ought to be any of us. We must constantly ask, Lord, what will you have me to do? And if so be that the Lord grants us the opportunity to serve at this present point of time, then we should willingly and happily and cheerfully do so. You remember what Peter would later on share in the book of Peter. It says that we should do it willingly, willingly, not of necessity, but of a ready mind. Do we have that ready mind? Do we have the desire to say that, yes, I may be busy or may have other plans, but I'm ready and I'm willing to drop whatever it is of something of lesser importance or lesser priority. If so be that the Lord desires that we will serve the Lord in this area with this opportunity at this point of time, are we ready to help? And that's what Peter did. Right, as the call came, says, come to Joppa. And he left and he went. And because of that, right, because of how he had always been so actively going about to serve the Lord, and because he had always had the desire that everywhere he goes, he would preach and present Christ, because he was always ready to help. Now, what we see in the final few verses is that he was now able to bear forth much fruit for the Lord. And that's what we will see from verse 40 onwards. And so he came to Joppa, and he was met with that scene where they had been weeping and mourning for the loss of this dear sister in the Lord. And they were showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas had made, and that was how she was full of good deeds. And so he asked them to leave. Verse 40, he knelt down, he prayed straight into action. He saw the situation and he saw an opportunity that if I were to raise this lady from the dead, many will be greatly encouraged and they will turn to the Lord. And that will really, in a way you can say, supplement all the work that Dorcas had been doing in this area. And she had been laboring for the Lord. And now there was this wonderful opportunity that in raising her from the dead, well, she could now be a means whereby many would turn to the Lord. So he did that. He prayed, and turning to the body, she said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. So it was a miracle, right? We'll focus on this miracle next Lord's Day. But we want to look more at verse 42 and verse 43, or verse 42 in particular. And the result of this miracle was that it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Many were saved. And this, coupled together with what had happened earlier in Aeneas, through the raising of the dead in Aeneas at Lydda and Sarah, where we are told that over there, many turned to the Lord. And we are told here now that many believed in the Lord. So same thought, right? they all were saved. And really what we can say is that he sparked off through his service, through his tireless labors. He sparked off a mass salvation. Many, many turned to the Lord. And this was the fruit that he was bearing for the Lord, where he went forth and brought forth much fruit. The Bible says that through this, herein is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit. So shall he be my disciples. He learned that from the Lord himself. And that was the result of his earnest labors and of his service. That in serving the Lord, he would be able to turn many to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can be sure, of course, that like at Lydda and Sharon, coupled together with his healing, he would have preached the gospel. He would have told them that I do this not of my own power or my own strength. I do not have nothing, no ability in me, but only in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was able to perform this miracle. So he did that. That was Peter, always desiring to bring forth much fruit for the Lord, to be of use, to be of service in whatever way possible, such that through his labors, many would come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But is that our desire also, that we will bring forth much fruit for the Lord? Or are we like that third man in that parable, to bury our talents in the sand? And says, oh, I just don't want to make any mistake. I'm afraid that I will say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. And as a result of that, we are just content or complacently doing nothing. Are we satisfied with such an existence? Is the Lord pleased with us if we were to bury our talents in the sand? We know that is not the case. The Lord wants all of us to be actively engaged in the service of the Lord. The Lord wants all of us to occupy till he comes. And the result of being occupied, of course, will be that we will be able to bring forth much fruit for the Lord. What is our desire for the year 2022? As we look forward to the whole year ahead of us, what will we accomplish for the Lord? We may have allowed 2021 to just slip by. And yes, it may have been, in a way, easy to do so. Oh, the church was closed for so many months. We were in lockdown. There were so many restrictions. I couldn't do anything. And that may have been partially true. But are there ways in which we could have been more faithful, more occupied, more engaged in the service of the Lord? Are there ways in which we can be more engaged in the service of the Lord here in 2022? 2 weeks have already passed. Only 50 to go. What will we be doing for those 50 weeks? Because if we are not active and deliberate about this, if we are not purposeful, we know how time just goes by. A week passes, another week, another week, another week. Before we know it, we're February, March, April, May, June. Half the year has passed. How have we been actively engaged in the service of the Lord? Have we been occupied? But occupied in the wrong thing. Busy, but busy in the world and not busy in the service of the Lord. I'd like to end with, again, words from the Apostle Peter, where he himself, having exemplified it in his life, he can with authority teach us and share with us these words of wisdom. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 11. He tells us, as every man have received the gift. What gift? The gift of abilities, of talents, of ability to serve the Lord. So even so, minister the same one to another. And the word minister is simply to serve. He says, everyone, you have received gifts from the Lord, abilities and opportunities to service. Will you use them to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God? As you have been recipients of the grace of God, will you be a faithful steward of what the Lord has given to you? And so if you have been called to speak, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, as a mouthpiece of God, speaking the word of God. If any man minister, any man serve, right? As I said, the word for minister, it's not just about full-time ministry, it's about any service. If any man serve, any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Let him do so to the best of your ability. That's what he's saying here. whatever, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, you do so with your might. You do so, and in so doing that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That was his words of advice, but we see it that he first exemplified that in his life, that he ministered according to the ability that God gave him. Yes, he had the ability to perform miracles, and so he did that to the best of his abilities. Now, how about for us? Whatever it is that the Lord has gifted us in, if you are musically inclined, technically inclined, or you have a very warm demeanor, you're able to encourage people, or you're able to pray, that's something that all of us can do. You're able to learn and study and be able to articulate and share God's word. Or you simply have the gift of time and energy on your hands. Will you do so according as the ability which God has given, so that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ? Will you occupy in the time that the Lord has given you until the time of the Lord's return? What are we doing with our life? What are we doing with the time and the energy and the resources that the Lord has given to us? Are we occupying? Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning. The example, the witness, and the testimony of the Apostle Peter, and many around us also, whom we see actively engaged in the service of the Lord. And we pray for all of us, that thou will also place in us this desire that we can be of use and of service to the Lord. May you help us to seek out opportunities, ways in which we can be of use to thee. We pray that thou help us not to be slack, not to be lethargic in our ways, that we no longer be sleeping or slumbering, but that we will occupy looking forward to the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in his blessed name we pray. Amen.